America under attack. Our coverage continues from WABC Radio News. This is WABC, New York City.
From ABC News, I'm Doug Limerick. President George W. Bush is at Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana, where he's just talked about today's unprecedented terrorist attacks in New York and Washington. Here's ABC's Ann Compton with the president.
The president has delivered to camera a statement that says that freedom has been attacked, but freedom will be defended. He said rescuers are trying to help the people, save people and save lives. Make no mistake, the president said, the U.S. will hunt down and punish those responsible for this.
ABC's Ann Compton with President Bush in Louisiana. Around 5 hours ago, two airliners crashed into the upper floors of the World Trade Center towers in Lower Manhattan. Both apparently American Airlines jets.
It just blew up. A big explosion. People started running. It was just chaos everywhere.
And then, incredibly, both 110-story buildings collapsed. Gone. ABC's Richard Davies near the scene. Richard.
I'm looking at a vast pile of billowing clouds of dust. It looks ominous, dark gray. South, as I look down towards the southern tip of Manhattan, the buildings beyond a few blocks from here are just not visible. One building superintendent from the area told me that there is a five-story high pile of debris on the scene. He thinks there are a very large number of casualties. Doug.
ABC's Richard Davies live from near the scene of the World Trade Center.
Now let's go to Mayor Giuliani. Mayor Giuliani speaking live.
You put enormous effort for coordination in a disaster like this. Has it been damaged? Is
it
still operating? It's gone?
It's been damaged. I don't know how badly. And right now, that whole area of Manhattan, including the police department, which is another area we would operate from, City Hall, is another area we would operate from, have been closed off. So we've moved to a secure location in Midtown Manhattan where we're operating city government.
Is it fair to say, do you think, that all of your drills for dealing with terrorism and disaster are going according to plan, or has this been of such of magnitude that we've just all been caught totally off balance?
Oh, there's no question we were all caught totally off balance. No one could possibly expect large airplanes to crash into the World Trade Center the way this happened. I think, having said that, as I watched what the police officers and the firefighters were doing, I think they're going to save the maximum number of lives you could possibly save in a situation like this. I mean, the emergency efforts that they've been going through over the last two and a half hours are nothing short of inspiring.
And when the National Guard comes in to say, did you say to take over or offer some relief, what can the National Guard do that you cannot do at a city level?
Well, at this point, what they can do is relieve men who are going to be exhausted physically and emotionally.
Now, just if you would, because I know how busy you are, just give us some sense of what you thought at the time about all this.
I thought that I would never live to see anything like this. I didn't think anything like this was possible. When I first arrived there, I rushed down there from Midtown Manhattan, and I saw the first building that had been crashed open. And when you look at it, it takes you a minute to really comprehend that this is actually happening. And to see people jumping from the top of the World Trade Center. I mean, I don't think I've ever had a nightmare that's worse than this.
Mr. Mayor, one last question. You said you never believed you'd live to see anything like this, and yet, in the past, you've been one of the leaders in preparing for just this
Absolutely.
Kind of thing to happen.
Yeah, but you keep you prepare for the worst, but you don't believe that it'll happen, and this is the worst. And I can only say that I thank God for the police department and the fire department that we have, because this would be much, much worse. And I'm also very proud of the people of the city. We evacuated Lower Manhattan with literally thousands of people, walked along with them, and they conducted themselves really, really, really well.
Well, I appreciate your time, sir. Thank you very
and
much.
Thank you very much for communicating all this.
The mayor of New York, Rudolph Giuliani, in his last term.
Peter Jennings interviewing Mayor Giuliani. As he said, needless to say, the mayor of New York.
America under attack. WABC's coverage continues.
This is Bruce Anderson, WABC News. You just heard the mayor talking with Peter Jennings, and the mayor says area hospitals need as much help as they can get. He says 50 hospitals have been pressed into service. He expects that number to climb to more than 100 now. There is a dire need for blood donations, and they say you can go to any hospital in the metropolitan area to donate blood. There's also a number of the Red Cross, an 800 number, 1-800-GIVE-LIFE, if you'd like to make arrangements to give blood. If you have a friend or a loved one that may have been in the World Trade Center this morning and you'd like information about them, there's a city number, 212-604-7285. You can call that number to get information about a person who may have been in the World Trade Center. You can almost be sure that line will be busy, but that's the number, 212-604-7285. We do not have any casualty figures at this point. Some other information we can pass along. A federal aviation official says about 50 commercial aircraft remain in U.S. airspace. FAA spokesman Paul Takamoto says he knows of no problems with any of those flights, all which were within about 100 miles of their destinations. This was about an hour ago, a little less than an hour ago. He confirmed no commercial flights are being allowed to take off at any major airports in this country at this time, as well as some other countries as well.
And if you heard the voice of the mayor, it was practically quivering as he spoke to Peter Jones.
I understand earlier in an interview he actually broke down into tears, right. Which is completely understandable.
But as he explained it as being beyond any of his worst nightmares to actually see the gaping hole in the World Trade Center and then eventually to see the first tower collapse.
And I think that's the response that all of us had from Curtis and I who were on the air when this first happened, to John who joined us shortly after, to Bibita and Bruce, and all of us are just sort of numb here as we're watching it replay itself over and over again.
I'm still numb.
As we speak, one of the scenes that we are watching on our television here is that of Channel 7, where they just switched it, but it was a picture from New Jersey, from Liberty State Park, across with the Statue of Liberty in the foreground and the smoke of what is left of the Twin Towers of New York City's lower skyline, which now are gone. And the thought that this has been created by, obviously, some people somewhere that has absolutely decimated our city. It really strikes the basic nerves.
Well, we have on the line now Sean Hannity, who joined us earlier. We'll be conducting his show this afternoon, although not here from high above Madison Square Garden. No one is permitted into the city of Manhattan unless they're emergency personnel. He's been good enough to go to nearby station WLIR, where he'll conduct his broadcast from. Thanks for rejoining us, Sean.
No, thank you, Curtis. You know, I was struck by listening to the mayor, and there's a sense that this is really surreal, as John Gambling was just saying a moment ago. You know, but you see the people hanging from the top of the World Trade Center because the smoke was so horrible. You see people running, and you see the scenes, these images now that will be etched in our minds forever. And the mayor said, never did I think in my lifetime we'd see something like that. They always prepare for things like this, but you never think it's going to happen. And this, you know, cowardly, dastardly attack on the United States, as the president said, this was an attack on freedom. Freedom was attacked today, and he did say, and he will be speaking shortly, it will also be defended.
Right, and out of the numbness, which will last for hours, for days, there's going to come tremendous anger.
Anger, no doubt.
What was done, when we start to see the pictures of the victims, when we start to get the horrific death toll, when we start to see the individual cases of the lives were extinguished, will be a tremendous national anger, the type of which we haven't experienced in this country the attack on Pearl Harbor.
And I might add, already we're getting visions of people demonstrating and celebrating these attacks on us in the Middle East.
Here's the president, I think, is about to speak. He is in Louisiana in Shreveport, and we'll get that audio up here, I'm sure, in any second.
Well, obviously we're having a technical problem.
They're having a slight technical problem. That's all across the board because I have a couple of TVs in here.
Well, he was actually flown by Air Force One from Sarasota, where he was at an educational conference there. He addressed the nation from there. We saw the bomb-sniffing dogs as they attended to all the personnel who were coming on board. And we now know that the Air Force One is lodged in that military compound in Louisiana, and he is preparing to address the nation as to what actions he and the administration are going to take.
Curtis, one of the wire services reporting at this hour that Congressman Jim Moran of Virginia says the death toll in the crash and explosions at the World Trade Center has reached 10,000 and could go higher. Now, what Congressman Jim Moran of Virginia, what information he has, we don't have. I don't know.
That would be virtually one entire building.
Right. Let's hope that Congressman Moran is less well informed than he purports to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, it could be devastating. You know, I guess if there's any good news, if you could take good news out of a horrible day, I mean the fact that there was at least some time before the collapse of the building, and hopefully as reports come in, and I know you spoke with somebody earlier who was in the World Trade Center. Hopefully, a lot of people got out of there, if not most people.
President Bush now speaking.
Resources of the federal government are working to assist local authorities to save lives and to help the victims of these attacks. Make no mistake, the United States will hunt down and punish those responsible for these cowardly acts. I've been in regular contact with the Vice President, Secretary of Defense, the National Security Team, and my cabinet. We have taken all appropriate security precautions to protect the American people. Our military at home and around the world is on high alert status, and we have taken the necessary security precautions to continue the functions of your government. We have been in touch with the leaders of Congress and with world leaders to assure them that we will do whatever is necessary to protect America and Americans. I ask the American people to join me in saying a thanks for all the folks who have been fighting hard to rescue our fellow citizens, and to join me in saying a prayer for the victims and their families. The resolve of our great nation is being tested, but make no mistake, we will show the world that we will pass this test. God bless.
That was the President of the United States a little early.
Those were
there.
Some earlier comments.
That's
yeah.
Right.
From the military Air Force base where he is now compounded in, where he addressed the nation.
And we'll be hearing, I understand, from Mayor Giuliani in another press conference just momentarily. We'll be waiting to find out what new information the mayor can give us about, of course, this tragic event.
You know, I think Bobita and Sean and Ron and Curtis and Bruce, I think that despite what the senator from Virginia might think, I think we are all going to be stunned at the number of casualties that are a result of this, and I think that it will be incomprehensible for most of us to deal with. And this will go on. If you'll remember the Morrow Building explosion,
yes,
that rescue and that cleanup process took months, and this will go on for probably the better part of a year, I would think, by the time it's completely put away.
John, was those comments taped earlier?
Yes.
Was that done on purpose? Do we know?
I'm told that was something that we weren't able to get on the air at the time, Sean.
Is that okay? Yeah. I didn't know if they...
A little earlier today.
Well, I will tell you one thing I saw earlier, Sean, which is very disconcerting, is that there were protesters in Nablus, Palestinians, who were giving the V sign, the congratulations, the high five, to the news that they were just hearing about the attacks on New York City, on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, and the other resultant activity that took place on behalf of terrorists. And, I mean, you would say to yourself, my God, you're cheering the death of could be tens of thousands of people here in the United States? It's mind-boggling.
Curtis,
absolutely mind-boggling. Women and children, I might add.
On yahoonews.com, and I'm reading directly from the press account here, dozens of Palestinian refugees fired into the air with joy Tuesday at news of the apparent anti-U.S. terrorist attack. And the Washington Post online right now has, quote, demonstrators distributed candy in a traditional gesture of celebration.
All right, but we're talking about a few dozen, a few hundred people on an earth containing 4 billion. I think that the overall response around the world, whether it comes from governments or non-governmental entities, has been the same as those of us here: shock, outrage, and horror.
Well, I think most people, of course, but these are reports. These this is part of the news that has just been happening. And in fact, there, look, the United States, the lovers of freedom, often are under attack by its enemies, and we've known that for a long time. All of us have interviewed over the years people that have warned us that the United States and basically any country would be vulnerable to possible terrorist attack, and we have been fortunate to this point. And, you know, what broke down, where it broke down, and those are the questions we all want answered in the days to come, especially in light of security as it relates to our nation's airports.
Well, you see, I thought, remember, part of the logic in not giving the death penalty for the terrorists, Osama bin Laden's terrorist friends who were on trial in Lower Manhattan at the federal building, don't give them the death penalty, and that'll calm the terrorists down, and they may not want to seek retribution and revenge. Well, they got life in prison without parole, and guess what? They ended up slamming into the World Trade Center. Wasn't that the rationale?
I have absolutely no idea who slammed in to the World Trade Center. If you have some sort of special late-breaking news, you should share it with the nation. If not, all we can do is speculate, and I agree with you.
Ron, if a man has come publicly, like Osama bin Laden on the BBC, on ABC, our own network, and has publicly condemned and threatened all Americans no matter where they are, and we know he's been responsible for other acts, what makes you think he wouldn't have culminated this in the grand...
I'm not saying he wouldn't do it. I'm just saying there's no evidence that he did do it. There are a myriad of shadowy Islamic fundamentalist organizations, some of whom are associated with Osama bin Laden, some of whom are associated with other individuals who could have been responsible. I mean,
I hate to agree with Ron to any extent here, but as of right now, we don't know who's responsible for this attack. We do know that he has been responsible for past attacks and has basically declared war against the United States in the past, which makes him a prime suspect when something like this happens. Whether or not he's responsible, we don't know yet, but it's probably a safe bet to say that it wouldn't be surprising if he was.
I mean, the problem is, and I dare say I know more Islamic terrorists than the average person on the street, and I listened to the tapes of the 1995 bombing plot, Sean, the plot to blow up the bridges and tunnels, and there were discussions going on of the people who were going to plant the bombs in the Holland Tunnel saying, well, gee, what happens if we kill innocent Muslims?
Yeah, I know,
and
I heard
it was,
earlier.
Well, okay, well, that's what happens, but that's necessary sort of collateral damage to the greater goal. It becomes very, very
difficult.
As
the president pointed, freedom was attacked today. This is what went on today. Freedom was attacked. Freedom's under fire, and the United States, as it relates to the world, is that number one target because we're the freest, best country in the world. So that's what happened. But as the president said, we will do everything that we can do to chase down the people that are responsible for this cowardly act, and they hopefully will be brought to justice.
If Osama bin Laden, who has taken credit for the blowing up of the USS Cole there in Yemen, taking credit for the blowing up of our embassies in Tanzania and in Kenya, takes credit for those three horrendous acts. We've been unable to do anything to him in terms of retaliation during the Clinton administration, the feeble attack on his compound in Afghanistan, the feeble bombing of that aspirin factory in the Sudan, and more importantly, our allowance of the Taliban to give him and his warriors against America and Israel sanctuary behind their country lines and give them a virtual pass. I mean, that to me indicates that it just encourages other terrorists because they say, well, look, you can attack America, kill their citizens.
Curtis, I agree with you 1,000% that this, if this isn't a wake-up call, I don't know what will be.
Okay, Sean, but I agree. But wake up. But what do we do?
Well, I would track down Osama bin Laden, wherever he is on the face of this earth, and bring him to justice.
That's a great idea.
And for all
whether
the reasons,
not for
and,
before or for this.
Well, for all the reasons that Curtis just mentioned, for before, and then certainly to see if he has any involvement in this. We don't know at this moment in this case.
The problem is when you have individuals who are convinced by committing an act like this against civilians, there's some religious justification, and God is speaking to them and telling them to do this, and they'll be rewarded, whatever the religion happens to be. It becomes very difficult to deal with them unless you can figure out a way of killing all of them.
Let their God sort them all out once they're up there next to Allah there, living the life of paradise, as they call it. But I want to put you on hold, Sean. on, and also Ron Kuby here, because we've been joined by Richard Bay. Richard, momentarily I'm going to get to you, because you were kind enough to call us from your home, in which you were able to actually eyeball see the horror of the airplane crash into the World Trade Center.
And the whole aftermath of it as well.
Right.
One after another, it was horrific and surreal at the same time.
You'll give us your commentary. We're joined here also, continuing on, John Gamling, Bruce Anderson, giving us the updates.
Curtis will also have a report from Steve Sandberg at the Mayor's Command Center coming up very shortly.
Right, command center that obviously has been moved from the World Trade Center,
right,
where originally it was ensconced. But first, let's get a status update from our national ABC desk.
America under attack. Our coverage continues from WABC Radio News. This is WABC, New York City.
The United States hit by terrorists. The World Trade Center in New York City was attacked and destroyed. The Pentagon attacked and partially destroyed. Apparently, commercial jetliners were hijacked and used for this purpose. President Bush is at Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana.
Freedom itself was attacked this morning by a faceless coward. And freedom will be defended. I want to reassure the American people that the full resources of the federal government are working to assist local authorities to save lives and to help the victims of these attacks.
President Bush from Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana. Another plane has crashed near Pittsburgh, about 80 miles away. That plane believed to have been headed for Camp David. Again, the World Trade Center in New York City is gone. Larry Jacobs, ABC News.
America under attack. WABC's coverage continues.
This is Bruce Anderson. Once again, let's update things for you just a bit. One senator calling it a second Pearl Harbor. The nation's in shock after the aftermath of a series of terrorist attacks, including the crash of two hijacked airliners. Both were American Airlines planes. They smashed into the two towers of the World Trade Center this morning. The towers are collapsed now in a huge cloud of smoke and debris. They say as many as 50,000 people work in those two towers on any given day, tens of thousands of visitors. And the mayor says they may have been a horrendous number of lives lost, and they are in dire need of blood donations at this hour. You can go to any area hospital to donate blood. There's also a number to call, 1-800-GIVE-LIFE. That's the latest we have for the moment. Let's check with Debbie Duhame now and what's going on as far as people trying to get out of the city.
Okay, thank you so much, Bruce. Let's see what's happening out there. Really, really a tough day. It looks like the Lincoln, Holland, and George are still closed. If you're trying to get into New Jersey from the city, you can use the ferry from Pier 11 to New Jersey. That is the only ferry running right now from Pier 11, West 38th Street to New Jersey. You have to use the ferry. Now we have tons of other closures as well. Southbound Deegan is closed at 230th Street. It's completely shut down. Only emergency vehicles getting through there. It looks like the Whitestone Bridge is still closed in both directions. Throgs Neck and Triborough Bridges are open into Queens. So if you have to get into Queens, you can use the Throgs Neck or the Triborough Bridge. Also, Queensbound 59th Street Bridge is open, and the Queens Midtown Tunnel into Queens open. However, of course, you cannot get into the city at the Queens Midtown Tunnel or the 59th Street Bridge. The Lower East River crossings are still closed in both directions. That includes the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, the Williamsburg, Manhattan, and Brooklyn bridges, all closed in both directions still. Over at the Verrazano Bridge, Staten Island bound, open, no tolls charged, just breeze right through if you can. That's Verrazano Bridge into Staten Island, Brooklyn bound, closed at the Verrazano Bridge. Now also, if you're heading into New Jersey from Staten Island, the Bayonne Bridge is open, Gothels and Outer Bridge crossing, all into New Jersey are open. However, into Staten Island, they are closed. LIRR, limited service restored eastbound from Penn Station. Again, very limited service there. Westbound Southern State, Northern State, and the LIE are all closed at the Queens line. You cannot get into the city from Long Island. And it also looks like New Jersey Transit is utilizing all available rail equipment westbound out of New York if they can, Newark and Hoboken terminals. Northbound New Jersey Turnpike is closed north of Interchange 11, and also northbound 95 is closed. The eastbound Newark Bay extension is also shut down because, of course, that brings you to the Holland Tunnel, which is shut down as well. I'm Debbie Duhame on 77 WABC.
Thank you, Debbie. A couple of announcements perhaps seem obvious. The election today in New York City has been called off. That will be rescheduled at another time. And all Major League Baseball games, including the Yankees, of course, have been postponed today. Curtis.
And as I had promised, we're getting back to Richard Bay, who had joined us earlier by phone from your apartment up on 57th Street. And you had a bird's eye view, but I understand, Richard, if you can just hold on the line, we have Steve Sandberg.
That's right. Steve, you are at the mayor's command center.
Bruce, that's correct. The mayor has moved his command center further uptown. It's at an undisclosed location. I cannot give that out for security reasons. But I am here, and I'm waiting for an update from the mayor. All the commissioners are expected to be here to brief the press and get the message out to people.
What can you tell us at this point?
Well, as of now, just from my own observations, heading downtown, at one point we were trying to get as close, or I was trying to get as close to the World Trade Center as possible. This was just moments after the second tower collapsed. And then all of a sudden there was a rush of people. It was on the West Side Highway, a rush of people, thousands heading uptown, running literally at full speed. And FBI officials grabbed my shoulder as well as police and told me to move and run the other way. The reason being that there were a gas main had ignited down there, and there were explosions, and they were afraid for people down there, and perhaps of all lower Manhattan, number of explosions backward, so on and so forth. So they moved everybody up. But everybody, while they were running, they were still running calmly. Everybody, very New Yorkers, doing a good job listening to police personnel, taking direction. And as we moved further uptown, things started calming down a little bit. And people just walking in the street, but walking slowly, calmly, again, with an expression of shock and disbelief on their faces.
Is the mayor there now, Steve?
The mayor, I have not heard yet if he has arrived. I know he was downtown earlier this morning. They had originally set up shop down in the financial district. They've since moved that. City Hall, from what I understand, is completely covered with soot and debris because of the collapse of the towers just blocks away. So everything is moving uptown. I can't say we are on the east side, but I cannot give out that location.
Thank you very much. Steve Sandberg reporting from the mayor's command center somewhere.
I think very, very interesting, and certainly a lot should be said about it, the way New Yorkers have reacted here, that the panic has been in the obvious places when you've got buildings collapsing and falling down on your head. But other than that, general calm throughout New York City.
Although I must tell you, John Gamling, I remember when the original site was chosen for the emergency command center, you can't get any more of a supporter than I am of Rudy Giuliani.
There was a lot of criticism.
We all questioned this, the logic of placing your security command center at the World Trade Center that we knew had been targeted by so many, not just the blast of 93, but the hoped and desired attacks that terrorists had been dreaming about for quite some time. But at 126, before we go anywhere else, Richard Bay, you were on the phone with us early on describing what you were watching from the top floor of your apartment there on 57th Street. And you were so graphic in describing how you actually saw that second plane crash into the South Tower. What did you actually see?
I was at the window for hours. I immediately after waking up, I turned on your show and was listening to you say there were reports that a plane had just crashed into the World Trade Center. I'm on the 38th floor. I have floor-to-ceiling windows that face south primarily, but also east and west. And I looked out the window and saw the smoke coming from the World Trade Center. I shouted to my girlfriend, who came out of bed. We came to the window. And then, a few minutes later, I saw another plane coming around one of the towers, starting to, it looked like it was banking. Now, we're told it was a large passenger plane I'm on 57th Street. This is all the way downtown. It looked like a smaller plane to me. But I said, my God, look at this plane. Another plane is flying, close to the World Trade Center. I saw it disappear. And then my girlfriend screamed as a ball of flame erupted from the side of the other tower, probably 20 stories, it seemed, from where I was, just as you'd imagine something in a movie. And that's the other thing that I would say. Watching it, when you're watching it live and you're sitting there, there's a sense of disbelief. It's different watching it on TV than it was, because I had the TV set on as well. But you're watching this, and this ball of flame is erupting, going through all these stories, and you can't believe what is happening. There was one shock after another, because of course soon after, about an hour later, you're watching, and one of the World Trade Towers just seems to slide and disappear. The only thing I can compare it to is I just seen the movie Fight Club, the one with Brad Pitt.
Yes.
At the end of that movie, one of the characters blows up all the credit card company buildings, and there's a scene at the end that is surreal like this. The buildings are there, You see the explosion, and there's silence. Of course, I couldn't hear anything. And the building just slides into oblivion. And then you see the billowing smoke come up. But as the smoke clears, you go, my God, the building is gone. And then what more could happen? The second building goes through the same process. Seems to be there one moment, then gone the next. And I have to say, the feelings of the emotions that you have, I can only imagine that they're similar to what somebody must feel when they're raped. You first have this sense of denial. This can't be happening. Then one of shock. It is happening. Then you feel sort of dirty and vulnerable. You're sitting there going, how could this happen in my city, in my country? This can't be happening here. And then all of a sudden, you reach a point where you go, my God, what could happen next? And those are the processes of emotional progression that you go through as you watch something, or at least that I went through as I watched.
Well, we're going to have a status report coming up. But for our generation, Richard and Ron, the World Trade Center really was the epicenter, the symbol of New York. For our parents' generation, it was really the Empire State Building. So it has that double impact. But we'll get back to Sean Hannity, who's on the air. He'll be doing his show live from Long Island today, the studios of WLIR. But first, let's get our status report from the ABC National News Desk.
New York's World Trade Center towers have been toppled, and the Pentagon is still on fire at this hour. All three buildings hit by aircraft in a chilling and apparently coordinated terrorist attack that some are calling worse than Pearl Harbor. A hijacked jetliner with an estimated 100 people aboard crashed in western Pennsylvania. There were no survivors in that crash. Washington, D.C. has declared a state of emergency. Air Force fighter jets were just off the wings of Air Force One as President Bush flew back to Washington, where he had this reaction.
Freedom itself was attacked this morning by a faceless coward. And freedom will be defended.
The president also vowed to find and punish the culprits.
Make no mistake, the United States will hunt down and punish those responsible for these cowardly acts.
New York City is still reeling from the toppling of the Twin Trade Towers. Joining us live now from Liberty State Park, just across the bay from where the Trade Center Towers once stood, is ABC's Steve Taylor. Steve, is the Statue of Liberty okay?
Yes, Karen, the statue is all right, but otherwise nothing is all right. This is a place you would ordinarily say has a beautiful view of lower Manhattan. Today that view is horrifying. All the skyscrapers of the financial district wrapped in smoke and ash, and the two World Trade Center towers gone. Ferries burying survivors, some of them injured, are landing at a marina here. Ambulances are moving in and out of Liberty State Park, taking the victims of the New Jersey disaster, or the New York disaster, to New Jersey hospitals. Also, Karen, in the skip, no aircraft at all cleared out under security order, with F-15 Air Force fighters enforcing that ban. Karen?
ABC's Steve Taylor live across from Manhattan, where the skyline has been altered forever by the toppling of the Twin Trade Center towers. The state of emergency has been declared in D.C. All air travel has been grounded in the U.S., and the military is on a high state of alert. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
America under attack. WABC's coverage continues.
We are awaiting word from Mayor Giuliani. He is to meet with reporters very shortly, and while we wait, we will join now national coverage.
First plane flew into the World Trade Center this morning. You were a short distance away, correct?
I was in the federal office building about 6 to 8 blocks north of the Trade Center. I was on the telephone, and I heard this tremendous kazoomp, and the building shook. And I said to the person I was on the phone, God, it sounds like a bomb or something. And I looked out the window, looked down at the street to see if anybody, you know, was running around or looking or pointing, and everything seemed okay. And then somebody came bursting in the office and said, oh, my God, a plane hit the Trade Center. It's on fire. We all ran to the other side of the building. I mean, we're on the 26th floor, and with this, it was, I've heard the word surreal, and that's all there is for it. I was reminded of the old black and white photographs of the plane that hit the Empire State Building. But there was this gaping hole in the side of the North Tower, and flames shooting out, and the side of the building kind of looking like confetti floating down. And everybody just stood there in awe and couldn't believe, but we all thought it was an accident. We, you know, it was kind of like, how could you miss the World Trade Center on a bright, clear day? And then everybody kind of went back and started talking and so on. And then the second one hit.
It looked like both of the planes hit at, I would guess, maybe about the 80-something floor.
Yeah, yeah, something about three-quarters of the way up, it looked like.
When the second one hit, did you think, this is no accident?
I'm an old cynic. I didn't think it was an accident in the first place. There's no way in this world any pilot can miss the World Trade Center on a foggy day.
Cannot miss the World Trade Center.
Right.
And did you feel the second explosion also?
Oh, the whole building shook. It was equally powerful. The question in my mind was, that all of the fuel exploding, was there a bomb on the plane in addition to it? I don't know. But it was a massive explosion that shook our building, and there was this stunned silence, and then everyone started screaming, my God, we're all going to die. They're going to go for us next. Again, I was in a federal office building that has always been under varying levels of security because of fears of this kind of an attack on the federal facilities.
And you were on the phone at the time. Any clicks on the phone? Any interruption
Nothing.
In service?
No.
And lights didn't flicker? Anything like that?
No. Just the whole building shaking. And then no one had to tell people to evacuate. They just immediately started getting out of the building as quickly as they could.
The elevator, stairs, both?
Both.
Mm.
Did you have any fear that the building you were in was in danger?
Yes. There has always been the fear that after Oklahoma City, that the federal office buildings here in New York City would be a target. Because the trials have been going on here. Because the federal office building here in New York City is second in size only to the Pentagon in terms of number of employees. If you wanted to make a statement, here's another way to do it.
Can you tell us anything about the agencies that are housed in the building where you work?
Well, the building where I work has IRS, FBI, and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. The federal 26 Federal Plaza, the huge building next door, has representatives of almost every federal agency in it.
Dick Stapleton, thank you for being with us here and helping us with the coverage, and you're going to be here for a little while.
Oh, yes.
Help us out some more. Nick was in the federal building just a short distance away from the World Trade Center. And as Dick explains, there was dead silence in first, and then panic, pandemonium, and screaming broke out. And people began to realize the enormity of what had happened. There is one man who, and there will be thousands upon thousands of stories from the survivors, but here's one man who is being praised by another who had gotten trapped behind the thick glass windows and was rescued.
It's pandemonium. I mean, it was something like out of a Bruce Willis Die Hard movie. He was there and he was crying, and there was another gentleman crying and for help. We couldn't get to him. We tried to get through we went through the buildings. We were lost. Both staircases, the backside was completely blown away.
Like a Bruce Willis Die Hard movie.
We're told, by the way, that President Bush is going to be leaving Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana for an undisclosed location. He was in Florida when all of this happened. And Mrs. Bush was at the White House. She has been taken, along with other White House staffers, to an undisclosed location. One other question for Dick Stapleton about the sort of security measures that you go through in your building, which, since it is a federal building, it is extremely secure. Have you ever felt any sense of misgiving or any sense of, gee, I wish maybe this were done better, or perhaps the security is not as quite as tight and alert as it should be?
Well, yes, but also with a sense of futility, you know, as we saw today, what can you do about it? Right after Oklahoma City, it was kind of, not that this is anything you can joke about, but it was kind of, we had guards all over the place, and they would check your bag of donuts. And in the meantime, there was a street between the two federal office buildings, and outside the street were half a dozen trucks parked, you know, any one of which could have been a Ryder rental truck or something. You know, so it was this sense of, I guess it's the enormity. We can't really guard against planes being flown into the building, so we're going to make sure nobody brings an explosive cup of coffee in. You do what you can, and I don't mean to make light of it, but there is this sense of, what can you really, really do?
Dick, let's pause here and listen in on Linda Douglas, ABC correspondent Linda Douglas, who's having a discussion with Senator Joseph Biden, who's chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee.
Shares my view on that. And when I spoke to Senator Daschle, by the way, he was home. He was here in town. There's a number of members of Congress. Congressman Brady from Philadelphia and a number of my colleagues are literally downstairs waiting for me now. I think this is, we have to show that we're up, we're ready to move. We are, in fact, nothing has fundamentally altered this government. And the tragedy that occurred to these thousands of people is one that we must, in fact, follow through.
America under attack. Our coverage continues from WABC Radio News. This is WABC, New York City.
Make no mistake, the United States will hunt down and punish those responsible for these cowardly acts.
The commander-in-chief from Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana, the president will leave that location, destination undisclosed. The United States has been hit with several terrorist attacks. The World Trade Center in New York City has been demolished. The method of destruction, hijacked commercial airliners flown into the building. Here's ABC's Lisa Stark.
It appears that at least four planes were hijacked early this morning. Two planes were American Airlines planes. Two were United planes. All were on cross-country flights. Two of the planes, the American plane, one from Boston to L.A., one from Dulles Airport in the Washington, D.C. area to L.A. The two United planes, one from Newark to San Francisco, and one from Boston to Los Angeles.
ABC's Lisa Stark, another plane crashed into the Pentagon, partially demolishing that building. And another plane crashed about 80 miles from Pittsburgh. It was believed to have been on its way to Camp David. Larry Jacobs, ABC News.
America under attack. WABC's coverage continues.
1:41, as we've been joined by Richard Bay. That was an excellent presentation of what it was like viewing it from your living room there, high above New York City, the explosions at the World Trade Center. Sean Hannity's on board. He's at radio station WLIR. He'll be conducting his program live from those facilities because he cannot get here into the city. As we advise everyone to stay out of the city, don't try to get into Manhattan. You won't be permitted in unless you're part of the emergency personnel.
And I should point out, even if you're in Manhattan, it's difficult to get around the island itself. I just came down from the Upper West Side. I was at the network radio headquarters because we thought we'd have a backup studio there, which we didn't need. But most of the taxi cabs are unavailable. But even if you do get a cab, the city is blocked off on certain streets. They have major thoroughfares blocked off, I guess, to make sure that the best routes are open for ambulances and other emergency vehicles.
We should be hearing from the mayor within at least the hour, and presumably he will tell us the plans for traffic leaving the city this afternoon or this evening. It's hard to imagine that they'll keep everybody in Manhattan overnight.
There's millions of people that have nowhere to go.
And there are people downstairs camped out outside of Penn Station, where the entrances are gated. There are metal gates pulled across the station to keep people out.
Now, I think Debbie Duhaime indicated that very slowly Long Island Railroad service is beginning to start from Penn Station going east. So that's a favorable sign, because obviously that would be crossing underneath the East River and heading off first into Queens and then into Long Island. So let's hope other means of mass transportation follow suit so that everyone will at least be able to get home. But Richard, you had an experience, I gather, from someone who assisted you in driving south from your apartment, at least to 42nd Street, and they had a relative who was working there at the, One World Trade Center.
These are those moments in time when New Yorkers do come together, as they did during the blackout, as they sometimes do during other moments of tragedy and when people have their moments of truth. But I was standing on the street, and a guy was driving by, and he said, "Oh, Richard Bay, I saw your show." I said, "Man, can you give me a ride? Because there are no cabs out there. They're either on radio or where people have them. It's hard to get transportation. The buses have signs that say, next bus, please, because the buses are full. So the guy gave me a ride down to 46th. I happened to find a woman who was trying to get her way to the ferry, make her way to the ferry. He was jumping out of a cab. I got in, but you can't get below 42nd Street unless you're an emergency vehicle or a news vehicle. So he drove me to 42nd. I walked the rest of the way here. The guy that picked me up originally, his girlfriend, was in the elevator at the moment of explosion at the World Trade Center. She said the doors popped open. She ran out and got herself away from the falling debris.
Well, what I'd like to do is go to Patrick here, who's been patiently waiting on the line, calling from New Jersey. Now, Patrick, you apparently had seen the explosion of the World Trade Center from your vantage point at Canal Street.
Yes, Curtis. I was on my in my car on my way down to work. I work at the corner of Water Street and Maiden Lane, and I drive down West Street all the way underneath the Battery Park underpass, past the World Trade Center, and then I come out up towards South Street on the FDR. And I was sitting at a stoplight at about 8:48 a.m., and I was at a red light near Canal Street, I think just north of it. And beautiful day, and all of a sudden I see this huge shadow off my left, out of my left corner of my eye, and I look at the shadow, and it's a shadow of a huge plane. I said, I didn't see the plane at first. I saw the shadow first because of the way the sun was shining. And I look, I said, what is the plane? Why is that shadow so big? Why is that plane so low? And I look, and I see this American Airlines plane flying southwest across downtown Manhattan, heading what would seem to be towards Staten Island. And I look at the shadow, and I see the plane. I can't believe it. And I look at it flying directly into the World Trade Center. It veered to the left and headed southeast, and it just steered itself right into the top quarter of the South Tower, North Tower, I'm sorry.
Well, was there an explosion immediately as it hit?
No, the plane went into the tower as if a knife was going into a cake.
That's like the Empire State Building, yeah.
Completely disappeared. And all there was a black slice across the top quarter of the tower, and that was it for a half a second. Then a huge orange explosion shot up and completely consumed the top part of the tower of the building, and then the black plume of smoke came out. And I was looking at a cab driver next to me, and our mouths were in our laps looking at each other. I immediately turned eastward into the Soho area, because I knew I wasn't going to be driving down there at that point. All the emergency vehicles were going to be heading down. I said, I'm going to go, you know, through the village and Soho, the east side. I'll go to the office by way of, Water Street. I got on a payphone to tell my boss I was going to be late. I look up, and next thing I know, I see the other plane flying into the side of the other building. And I couldn't believe it. I said, oh, this is it.
How were the two crashes different from the first one from the second one?
The first one was lower. I mean, the second one was lower. The first one was coming from the north into the north face of the north tower. And the second one came from an angle I couldn't quite fathom.
Did the second plane hit head-on the way the first plane did?
It hit head-on. It hit lower, and it hit at the corner of the building instead of the middle. The first one steered itself right into the middle.
And how was the explosion of the second impact of that airliner maybe different than the first, Patrick?
The second one shot out the back side of the building a lot more. I couldn't see the back side of the other building because I was watching it from the front. But from my angle the second time, I saw the shrapnel shoot out the second explosion, shoot out the back side. And then I said to myself, how could I be so stupid? That obviously the first one wasn't an accident. I thought it was a terrible accident. It was like watching a movie. It was like watching IMAX.
That's exactly what I've been saying, too. Even when the buildings collapsed, it reminded me of the Fight Club. When I saw the ball, it reminded me of Die Hard, where that guy's trying to blow things up in the city. You look at it, and you disassociate from reality. You don't think that there are people there that are dying at that moment until a short time afterwards.
I thought it looked like a movie. You see all these things happen in the movies. You're like, oh, that was a pretty good stunt. And I saw it, and I said, well, that was a pretty good stunt. And I said, that's real. That happened.
Now, Patrick, in that time when you were focusing on both towers, because now you've seen both airplanes collide into the North Tower and then following the South Tower, Did you see any human beings? Did you see people literally hanging out of the building itself or attempting to jump, as has been described to us, to what they thought was safety, 80 floors below?
No, I didn't see anybody jumping out of the buildings. I was simply on a payphone to my office, and I was on Mulberry Street at that point. So I was a little ways away, but I was far enough away to see the planes hit. When I saw the second one hit, everybody was just screaming and yelling, saying, "Oh, another one." And then I realized at that point in time that New York City was under attack, and it was time to hightail it out of there.
All right, well, Patrick, we thank you for your observations, obviously sharing with us the horrific view that you had, that Richard had, that so many other thousands of tri-state area residents have. We're going to continue in with our discussion. Sean Hannity's on the line. Remember, he'll be doing his program live from the studios of WLIR this afternoon in Long Island. He cannot make it into New York City, to Manhattan. Don't you bother. If you have loved ones here in Manhattan, I'm sure eventually they'll find their way home, but right now, everyone is here. And now, our update.
Under attack. Our coverage continues from WABC Radio News. This is WABC, New York City.
President Bush has a warning for whoever is behind today's terrorist attacks. You cannot hide.
Freedom itself was attacked this morning by a faceless coward. And freedom will be defended. I want to reassure the American people that the full resources of the federal government are working to assist local authorities to save lives and to help the victims of these attacks.
So far, we're not sure who is behind it, but government sources say the work could be that of Osama bin Laden. New York's World Trade Center was hit by two planes today. This man was in the building at the time. One of them was an American Airlines plane bound for L.A. for Boston that was hijacked.
That's what's got me most upset is the firemen and the people still in the building.
Did you?
Because I know it just didn't make it.
The Pentagon was also hit by a plane. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
America under attack. WABC's coverage continues.
151, and interesting, Richard Bey was sharing with Ron Kuby. Ron Kuby, the non-militarist, the non-interventionalist. You, Ron, were actually looking after the first plane crash into the North Tower of the World Trade Center for interceptor fighter jets.
Yeah, looking
United
for some
States.
Of those F-15s there. Like, where are they?
Well, you feel so vulnerable looking at this, and you go, wait, nothing's happened. A plane has just crashed in here, and nothing's happening yet, you know? And then the second one comes in, and you go, where's the cordoning off of Manhattan to protect? Obviously, we're a target. You know, what protection do we have? SDI isn't going to protect you from something like this.
Well, clearly the jets are up in the air right now, both over the Pentagon, over Washington, D.C., which itself had that horrible calamity affect the Pentagon with the jet crashing into its facility. But, you know, for all of us who've taken the shuttle on a regular basis, we think, oh, the Air Force should have been able to scuttle up and get some aircraft up and maybe intercept at least the second jet. When you take a shuttle flight from Washington, D.C. to New York or Boston to New York, and even those weren't shuttle flights, they obviously were following the same path. By the time you make your ascent, you're all of a sudden descending. You don't even get a chance to get your Coca-Cola and your peanuts. That's how quickly those flights take place. So it's to expect that all of a sudden our Air Force or our security was going to be able to react, I don't think, as the mayor mentioned, in our wildest dreams, we could have ever imagined this even in our worst nightmares.
It is amazing that they were able to attack the Pentagon. Okay, I mean, I understand that it's hard to protect the heart of downtown Manhattan from people that hijack airplanes or something, but you would think the Pentagon, at the very least, because we had heard about Stinger missiles and air interceptors, and it's just a little staggering.
And the other thing is, you know, hindsight is 20/20, and I'm not pointing any finger here, but for years, the scenario has been floated around that a terrorist would hijack a commercial airliner and crash it into a nuclear reactor. That has been one of the scenarios, the nightmare scenarios, used by those people who oppose nuclear energy, saying that it could, in that form, at least be turned into an explosion, a radioactive explosion that could endanger American lives.
But Hollywood, as bizarre as they get with their cinematography, has never, and at least in my mind, you guys are better movie experts than I am, but has never really created this scene of a hijacked aircraft crashing into a major facility here
Although
in America.
They have created a lot of scenes about what happens in the aftermath in this country of a major terrorist attack of this magnitude, which we've never seen before.
I will tell you that as I listen to what's being said and described, and as I watch the pictures, and of course, television is doing what television does best, repeating the dramatic television footage of that 767 flying into the South Tower and the resultant explosion. As I watch that over and over again, and then the almost, as you pointed out, Richard, almost mystical collapse, implosion of these two largest buildings in the world, I think to myself, how could this have happened so rapidly? I keep coming back to that same thought. And our guest of earlier, of an hour or so ago, Bob, I must have been, it was Kraft or Knapp.
Krause.
Bob Krause, who was here, who was on the 84th floor, I believe it was, of the South Tower. Even he and I, off mic, were wondering about that. How could these buildings implode so rapidly?
Well, in fact, when Nelson Rockefeller built the World Trade Center, they were built to withstand airline crashes, as the Empire State Building did many years before that. But on the line, as he's been all morning long, Commissioner for the City of New York, Jerry Camerota, who first informed us that, in fact, he was vacating the area down by the old, at that point, emergency center that was the heart throb of the operation to provide the public safety and services to the victims and such. Jerry, where are you at this point as we speak to you? Jerry Camerota, Commissioner of the City of New York, where are you as we speak to you? Well, we'll get to Jerry momentarily. We'll get to him momentarily.
Well, that's another thing that should be mentioned, too. Phone service is also erratic, and I don't know if we're a victim of that at this moment. But as I was trying to call the station here to find out, you know, what was required of us, it took about 20 times to get a dial tone and then to get
because,
through.
I mean, everybody in the world is calling everybody they know in New York, which is probably not the most helpful thing.
It's natural. I mean, I have probably 100 friends that work in, if not those two buildings that collapsed and no longer exist, or around in the neighborhood, and I was worried about them.
All right, 156, we have on the line again Commissioner Camerota. Where are you at this point, Commissioner?
Just one block away from the World Trade Center. I left my agency office to come back to see the devastation, and at this point there is no West Side Drive. The overpass that leads from the financial center to the World Trade Center is completely down. There's just one smaller of all of the buildings still up, and they're worried about that coming down. But even more importantly is the human condition right now. Firemen sitting on the side, absolutely exhausted, kind of in bewilderment as to how this could happen. Seeing not only the fire engines but the police cars completely blown out, burnt up, just from the last explosion and the tower coming down. It is just not a nice sight to see here.
Now, Commissioner Camerota, do you have any idea at this point? I know the mayor has assembled his various commissioners, you being one of them, of the casualty count, the injury count at this point?
I don't know, but prior to coming here, I did stop by downtown Beekman, and it was just ambulance after ambulance, waiting rooms, any area that they could find to bring people in to give them some kind of comfort and to take care of their medical needs. I understand also that they have actually put patients on the ferry and brought them over to Staten Island, and they've been going to Staten Island St. Vincent's Hospital. So they're doing a good job in making sure that all of the hospitals do get a fair share so that complete and swift medical care can be received.
Beyond the people who are in the building, what about the people who are on the ground trying to save or help the people in the building? Are there any injury or casualty figures on police officers or fire department personnel?
Well, that's the one thing that I fear, and I'm sure everybody is fearing as well. Not only are the civilians that were in the building dead at this point, but all of the EMS, all of the firemen that were in that building, and out of the goodness of their heart, running up the stairs to take care of them, to be caught off guard, and for this to happen, it's just absolutely devastating. Downtown is like a Sunday morning, but it's a Sunday morning with more debris, more iron through glasses, the glass of the windows of the buildings, and then to see an engine of the plane right on the side of the roadway just makes you understand the significance of what's
going on. Jerry, how many other buildings besides the towers came down?
Well, you have the two towers, and then you have one of the adjacent buildings. You know, the World Trade Center is divided up into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The smaller buildings are completely demolished as well. And from what I'm able to see, the building that OEM was in is completely demolished, along with the overpass that went from OEM to the main two towers that we all know as the World Trade Center.
So that's the OEM, the Office of Emergency Management, that the mayor had specifically constructed to deal with these kinds of emergencies. Jerry?
Yes, you're absolutely correct.
All right.
Right now, those services are being monitored and are being coordinated in other areas, not to mention.
Jerry Camerata, a New York City Commissioner, if you'd be kind enough to continue to give us updates, you've been our sort of our eyes and ears from City Hall and from the administration, and actually your own personal experiences have been so helpful in us trying to clarify what is taking place in that terrible tragedy down at the World Trade Center. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And coming up, we'll get more updates at the top of the news hour from our ABC National Radio News Desk and Bruce Anderson, who will be joining us, who himself has been scurrying about in the newsroom trying to get the latest breaking details. And we hope to hear from the mayor of the city of New York, Rudy Giuliani, with his update on this tragedy.
America under attack. Our coverage continues from WABC Radio News. This is WABC, New York City.